Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. I promised you that Rich Galen was going to be on the show, and he very well may be. But I told you that he's inside the Beltway, and here's what that means. That means that sometimes things don't go perfectly when they're trying to get into town to the office. A lot of times Rich does this show from his home, but I know he's on his way to the office in downtown Washington, D.C., so he may be hung up. Anyway, he'll probably be here in just a little bit, but I want to continue to talk about what I promised you we'd talk about. I want to talk about the Iraqi war, some of my thoughts on the Iraqi war, and also we'll open it up to phone calls if you want to call 800-531-3815. And just about the time when we're writing him off, he shows up just like a bad penny. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen.
I told my limo driver not to go across the Memorial Bridge this morning.
I thought maybe your limo had gotten caught and it got lost in DuPont Circle or something.
I'm sorry. It was one of those things. You know, we all do this. That you sort of get midway between something, and then you start gritting your teeth. You go, oh God. And finally, I just decided, you know, either some guy. What happened was some guy was changing his tire on the bridge.
I see.
But there's nothing I could do. I apologize for the peril of falling.
Rich, any day now, you're in the limo orbit now. I'm in the Pinto orbit. You're in the limo orbit.
Yeah, limo orbit. That's
right. And the next thing, though, folks, by the time Rich joins us next time, he'll be in the helicopter orbit, so he won't have to worry about the traffic. They'll just dust him off from his house to his office, and he'll be in business. Rich, frankly, we don't care why you had a problem getting here.
I know.
We don't care about that. That's not interesting to us.
I went to Kuwait, as you know, and yeah. My luggage didn't make it with me. And I wrote in the column that it would be that two rules. One, don't get upset at the airport if your luggage isn't there. That's not going to get it there any faster.
That's right.
It just makes everybody upset. Number two is don't tell everybody about it in great detail because they don't care. And if they think about it at all, you know what they're thinking? Oh, God, somebody had to lose their luggage. You're glad it wasn't me.
That's right. They're but for the grace of God, exactly.
So if somebody's going to get stuck in traffic, good. I'm glad it was you.
Rich, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. I want to talk about, as I told you and as I mentioned, I want to talk about Iraq a little bit and about the politics of Iraq. I'm a long view kind of guy. It's my nature to be this way. It's my nature to not look at things off the tip of my nose. I try to back up a little bit, and I've been studying the Middle East as a very much interested amateur observer of that region for a long, long time. I've studied quite a bit about it, and I've actually been there as you probably remember.
Right.
Spent some time over there. I know a lot of people in the region. And you just cannot, I mean, if you know anything about the Bible, you just cannot contemplate anything about the Middle East in terms of months, sometimes years, let alone months.
Right, exactly. I mean, the only thing that was ahead of schedule was the speed with which our brilliant kids went in and took the country. I mean, they did that, I believe, in 23 days. And if you remember, even at that, the pundits were saying, well, you know, this is taking a lot longer than anybody thought. Remember, they had to stop for like a half a day for a sandstorm. And, oh, my God, quagmire.
They don't have enough people over there. Now, these are the same people who were glad that the army, you know, that we downsized the army by about half.
That's exactly right.
They're saying, we don't have enough soldiers over there.
Same guy, by the way, the same guys that did everything but dismantle our intelligence services are the ones that are standing there screaming at them now for not being able to figure out ahead of time what was going to happen on September 11th.
Right.
But you're right about the politics of America are really based upon television, that Americans, to a great degree, want the murder mystery to be solved in time for the 11 o'clock news. And if it takes, you know, sometimes we'll accept a miniseries, let it go for 3 days, But that's about it. After that, we want to move on to something else. And so it, I think it's...
And that's if it doesn't interfere with our bowling league.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Or taking the kids to, you know, Boy Scouts or something. But the but here's where I think the politics of this thing go, which I don't know. I've told you 120% of what I know about military tactics. But I wrote in the column that I don't speak Arabic at all, but I speak fluent politics. And the but the politics of this are that it's a high-risk deal for the Democrats to be picking at the administration policy in Iraq. First of all of the surrounding neighbors are thrilled that we're there. I mean, I think we may have talked about this once. Everybody,
even Syria, is acting like they're helping us with terrorists.
Yeah,
who would have thunk that?
We sent Colin Powell in there, and he pointed to pointed to a picture of Rumsfeld.
he said,
"Okay,
he
here
said,
are
you
your two choices.
Me, he
you
said,
can go
you
back."
He said, "You don't want me to open up a can of Rumsfeld on you."
You can go back to being an ophthalmologist, or you can be the C block ophthalmologist, or you can just, you know, help us out here. But you know, I think we might have talked about this. America is everybody's second choice to be in Iraq. I mean, the Kurds want the Kurds to be there, the Turks want the Turks to be there, the Iranians want Iranians to be there, but if they can't be the ones that are running Iraq, they just sooner be us. Because not only are we the only ones that can actually, you know, force the Iraqis to kind of work together and figure some of this stuff out, but that's the magnet side, but we're also the only ones that can repel everybody else and keep them out.
And we're the only ones, besides maybe the English and maybe one or two other, but the only big power that could possibly, that's ever been on the planet, that they know that we'll come in and whether we make mistakes or not, that when we finish, we'll leave.
Yeah, that's right.
And give them back their country. But one thing I wanted to point out, though, is I want to move forward and talk about the reorganization over there. You know, we've got all this weeping and wailing over how poorly the you know, things are coming together over there. But in an article in the Journal yesterday, Paul Jugot was over there. He went with Paul Wolfowitz to Iraq. And he said, you know what? He said, if you walk around on one street corner, you might get that impression. But if you see with the whole entirety of what's going on over there, he was pretty impressed.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the morale of the troops, at least 2.5-3 weeks ago when I was there, was very high. Look, this is an all-volunteer army. And these kids know that they didn't...
Rich, I'm sorry, we got to take a break. Let me tell you something. Rich, you've been in uniform before. I have, too. If you took a company of soldiers to the Bahamas, put them on a beach with a beer in their hand, you wouldn't have to walk more than 10 feet to find one who would complain about something. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen, who is the author and the publisher of an outstanding cyber column called Mullings.com, 2 L's, MULLINGS.com. Folks, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or a mugwump, you'll like this column. You'll be entertained by it. And if you're a Republican, you'll love it. And if you're a Democrat, you'll love to disagree with Rich. And you can find him, as you can imagine, at Mullings.com. It comes thrice weekly, right, Rich?
Thrice weekly, and yesterday I announced my candidacy for governor of California.
I saw that. Well, I need to go out there and register so I can vote for you.
I'm not even going out there to register, so. That was the principal part of my platform, was that I didn't live in California and I had no intentions of moving there. So nobody could blame anything on me. I think I'm a perfect candidate.
Hillary Clinton did it in New York.
Exactly.
I mean, why can't you do it? Yeah.
Exactly right. I don't think there's any reason for that. The residency requirement in the California Constitution is, in order to be a governor, you have to live there for 5 years. But on the Secretary of State's website, although I kid about these things, I try to get the facts at least right. and the Secretary of State's got a footnote to that section of the California Constitution that says that is in violation of the U.S. Constitution, so we don't enforce that particular rule.
Rich, did the President move too quickly to, or did he use the wrong language in declaring the war so to speak, over in Iraq?
Well, he used the exact language, although we forget that he said it. He said that the major fighting
right.
was over.
We leave that part out sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, he didn't. He specifically didn't say the war was over, because the war in Iraq is a subset of the war against terrorism. The war to take Sicily, you know, the battle to take Sicily in World War II didn't end World War II, nor did the surrender of the Germans
right.
end World War II. It was only
right.
when the Japanese also surrendered. So,
well, 40 years later, there were still some Japanese living in caves who thought the war was still going on.
Well, that's right. And,
which brings me to this point. This is something Jigot said in the journal yesterday. He said that the Iraqis told them, "You Americans don't understand how ruthless the Ba'athists are. They will fight to the death." Did we underestimate the Ba'athists?
Oh, no. I think that's one of the reasons that we spent so much time, although it wasn't reported because nobody wanted it reported, with Special Forces guys in there, setting all this stuff up and trying to figure out who was who. But, you know, this is how brutal they are. When I was in Kuwait, there was an American doctor that was trying to round up some funding and some backing, because you need to have some security with you, to take another bunch of Western plastic surgeons into Iraq to provide, this is so brutal, it's beyond belief, to provide prosthetic ears for young men who had their ears cut off by these guys. And there's enough, in Iraq, most Iraqis don't wear the Middle Eastern garb, they wear Western dress, so their heads aren't covered up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are enough of them, enough of that kind of torture went on. So that somebody's trying to set up a team of people to go in and try to help repair some of that. So, yeah, these guys were beyond belief in terms of their brutality.
It seems that we're closing in on Saddam. Are you surprised he's still in the country?
No, because where else is he going to go?
Well, I would have thought he would have been able to have gotten out of there.
Well, you know, he can't.
I guess I would have thought he would have been smart enough to do that. Maybe I overestimated his intelligence.
Well, and, you know, but again, remember what we said earlier in the show. Somebody's got to take him in, and... You know, nobody wants to get caught with Saddam in their house.
Right. They don't want, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that, as you go pointed out, Rich, I'd like to get your thoughts on it, is that, I mean, especially since you were just over there, is that the Iraqis, according to Jigot, is they're not so concerned about that Americans are going to stay too long. They're afraid we're not going to stay long enough.
Yeah, which is what happened in 91. Remember, in 91, there was the issue was that it was felt that a weakened Saddam was better than a power vacuum. This is 13
right.
years ago, so times
right.
have changed. But better than a power vacuum into which a very angry Iran would rush. Remember this, they had just finished a 10-year war. The Sunnis and the Shiites were fighting with each other, and there was a great fear that Iran would just overrun Iraq if they took Saddam out. So they thought a weakened Saddam was better than no Saddam at all. That, of course, has changed now, and I don't... One of the things... That I believe the world is beginning to understand about George W. Bush is this, that he will change his mind if you can show him that this is a better way, or that the course that he was on wasn't the right course. He is self-confident enough to say, okay, that didn't work, let's go do this. But you can't intimidate him into changing his mind. And that's so once he's set his course here, and he's absolutely committed, as I understand it, to making the Middle East, and the Middle East includes everything from Egypt, you know, through India, including said that would be Central Asia, of course, a safer place over the next 5 years. By the time he leaves office, he wants it to be a safer place by far than what he found. And I suspect he's on the road there. I mean, you know, we look at Israel and the Palestinians. Will this last? Who knows? But it's a step in the right direction.
Well,
a step down the road to peace in the right direction.
Well, I'll tell you what. If over the next 5 years, I mean, imagine this. Imagine if 5 years from now, Iraq is operating like Turkey. Imagine an Iraq
right.
operating on par, say, with Turkey.
Right.
Just not an American's form of democracy, but the Middle Eastern,
yeah.
Middle Eastern form
exactly.
of democracy.
Exactly. You can't. I mean, it doesn't.
Imagine
have to be
what that would do to that region and the world.
Sure. It'll provide jobs. It'll provide stability, and it'll provide leadership.
And anybody who looks at that region short-sightedly for political reason, I feel sorry for them, because they're in for a rude awakening and probably some failure. Rich Galen, thank you for being here. Mullings.com, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back another day, I promise. Quick break, right back with our new friend, Gene Siciliano, right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.